Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk Live.
Bill and Chris Tenney Britton here today to talk to you about what to do when you have no visitors. You know, those times in the church life when smaller churches, but even larger churches sometimes go through dry periods when there's no visitors coming. It's all just the home crowd every single week. And if you get a visitor, it's really more of a guest, someone who has come from out of town and is visiting with the Smiths, and the Smiths have brought them because of their second cousin twice removed, and they're going to go away again. But no, what are you doing? You're just not getting any visitors anymore in worship.
Right. Well, and this is a common complaint that we hear. Consultants,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Time.
We never have any visitors. That's why we're not growing.
There may be a reason for
that. Yeah, our community is declining. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody new ever comes in. Guess what? Your community may be declining, but there are people moving in. And I love when
and
we
even if they're not moving, people not moving in, there's still only about, at the best, 19% of your population in your community is going to church. That leaves 80% of the people not in church.
Heck, I'll give you 50% of the people in your community, 75%. It still tells you that there are people there. Well, anyways, we want to talk about that a bit today. And I'll start by saying that a lack of visitors is a result of either an internal problem, or maybe not either. It comes with an internal problem and or an external problem.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about the internal problems.
First, yeah.
Okay. First, internal problems. If you're not getting any visitors, then you might be experiencing some unresolved conflict.
Number one,
in your
we say this. Yeah, I'm
no,
sorry.
No,
we say this all the time. All the time, people don't come back. People don't come. It's because there's conflict there.
And people can sense that. You know, you may know that there's something, but oh, we're covering it up. No, you're not. You just think you are. If you walk into to a friend's house, and husband and wife, and they just had a big fight, and you walk in and they're putting on these smiles, you know. There's just ways you know that they've been fighting. Well, the same in the church. You go in, if the church has been fighting, people know. And they don't want to come back because they're uncomfortable
but
with it.
But we're talking about not even getting visitors there, you know?
Right.
Drive by the church as people are leaving, and if they're leaving with their arms like this, if they're leaving not with smiles, if they're leaving on their own and they're not talking, yeah, people are seeing that all over the place, which is, you know, has to do with reputation, too,
which we're
going to come to that again.
Right.
Okay, so another reason you may not have guests is that people within the congregation don't have any significant relationships within the congregation. Why would you want to invite a friend to come when you sit by yourself every time? I mean, personally, I don't want my friends or people out there to think I don't have any friends. And if I sit by myself, I'm not going to invite others. And one of the key ways to look at this is to see, one, how many people are sitting alone by themselves? Two,
or families sitting by themselves,
yes,
who aren't interacting with other families.
Right. How much conversation goes on before or after the service? I tend to say, well, I do say, it tells me a lot when I see a lot of interaction after the service, but if I see interaction and people leaving on their own or just kind of sneaking out, it tells me that there's something not going on with relationships.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Another internal problem is that what is being offered in worship, whether it's the music, the songs, the sermon, the whole service in its completeness, is irrelevant to those who are less than well-churched, whatever brand you happen to be. So, you know, they're not Lutherans, they're not Methodists, they're not Baptists, or they just haven't been to church in a long, long time, and they come in and it's like, eh. So if it's irrelevant, you know, they're not coming.
Right. Well, and with that is a sense of embarrassment.
The people in the church.
Right. That's, yeah,
we're
these are those internal, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed by what happens in worship. I'm embarrassed that I don't have any friends. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And with that comes a low self-esteem.
Right.
So it's not just about individuals having low self-esteem. Congregations have a low self-esteem. Why would anybody ever want to come to church here?
Right, and why would they want to come? You know, I know my friends, they wouldn't like what we're doing. They wouldn't get it, so I don't invite them. Hey, that's one of the reasons you're not getting visitors.
Right.
Hey, another issue is a misunderstanding or a denial of your community demographics. It goes back to there's no one new moving in town. I was in a small church, and they said, hey, there's nobody like us, or like the ones we're trying to reach young adults in our community. They're all old like us. And it was like, really? Have you looked at the demographics? One of the faster growing demographics, and one of the fastest growing demographics, was children just coming into school age. Well, that means there's a lot of young adults out there having kids. Hello, there's a lot of people out there. So understand your demographics and come to terms with the reality.
Hey, Pastor, I'm going to give this one to you. Another reason that you don't have guests is because you're not encouraging people to bring guests.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't encourage them, and you have to give practical tools. If encouraging worked, then for the last 2,000 years, we would not be preaching the same thing about go out into all the world.
Right. We'd be huge churches. The whole world would be evangelized.
Right. Exactly. So you need practical tools, things to put into people's hands, but you also have to give them beyond encouragement. Teach them how to use that. Tell them what to do with that.
What to say, how to invite someone. Hey, we had a sermon series coming up. You know, come and do this sermon series. By the way, that means, Pastor, you have to write a sermon series.
Well, and you have to have a brochure or a card or something that your people can hand out, that you're able to say, hey, give this to somebody. Hey, this week is, I don't know, National Stand on Your Head Week. And those of you that stand on your head, go to your neighbor or someone you know who doesn't have a church home, stand on your head, and hey, hand them this. And tell them, hey, we're doing the Stand on Your Head sermon series. Okay.
That
keep
was an
going.
Interesting week. All right, okay.
That'd be awesome.
All right. The last of the internal problems we want to touch on is the pastor and the congregation is member focused. It's all about us. And when you're all looking at each other, when the whole church is involved with running the church, etc., then it's all about us and it's not about anyone else out there, and that means no one's coming.
Well, you know, and I think related to that in some ways is that you do hear people, well, I like my church just the way it is.
Right.
I like us being small. That translates into what? We don't want anybody else. You're focused on the internal. Well, let's talk about some of the external problems that we encounter. And we've touched on this already.
Right.
And that is that the congregation has a bad reputation out in the community.
We have a church in the community here that everyone knows. It's the fighting church. I mean, they don't talk to each other. It's like the Hatfield and the McCoys in this congregation, except they're not shooting at each other. But they might as well, because they shoot daggers at each other when the other families come in. It's unreal. If you have a lousy reputation, you know, the reality is most churches have no reputation.
Yeah.
That's another big external issue if no one knows about you.
Well, another problem is members who act out in the community. I got the privilege of pastoring a church where this man who will remain unnamed would go up to the little donut shop up, you know, in the little neighborhood area, and he would tell horrible jokes that weren't funny. And we had people that we would invite to come to church, and they would say to us, you know, really, quite honestly, I can't imagine coming to your church because of so-and-so.
All right. Congregants often have a lack of relationships outside the congregation or outside of churched people. They don't have any relationships with unchurched people. Well, if you don't have anyone to invite who's not already in church, you're not going to see very many visitors.
Well, I love this when nobody knows where you are. You know, you have to be a location destination. But again, if you're not talking about the church, if you're not doing something to be, you know, on the grid, then nobody's going to know where to destine go.
All right, so let's talk about what things you can do.
We can do. Well,
all right, first, address your conflict. If you got conflict, deal with it. And we have a number of episodes on Church Talk. You can go to deal with this. You can get the conflict CPR DVD training set on dealing with it. But if you've got conflict that's unresolved, deal with it, because it won't go away on its own. Conflict never goes away on its own. It goes underground and continues to work against you and your congregation. So deal with it.
Yeah, okay. And then evaluate every aspect of your service. That means sermon, music, flow, every aspect of your services, your ministries, and your missions. And you're looking at relevance. I'd add practicality as well. Why is it going to make a difference to people? The ham and bean supper that you do to raise money is not relevant. It may be practical for you, but it's not relevant, and it's not about the people that you're trying to reach and serve.
And the reality is unless someone is actually looking for a church home, which is a very small portion of the community, unless they're actually looking for a church home, coming to your ham and bean supper will not get them into your congregation.
Right.
You have to have something to hand off again to invite them to beyond that. So evaluate, how are what we doing bringing new people into the church?
Well, you got to get a sense, too, of why people are not inviting. Do they feel disconnected? Are they embarrassed? Is it a lack of encouragement from up front? Is it the absence of practical tools and suggestions about how to use them? Assess and address and reverse. Okay, it's not enough just to talk about it. It's not enough just to talk about it, say, oh, we have this problem. You've got to figure out how to reverse that. And again, that's that word tools that you've got to put into place.
And if you want to make those tools especially helpful, then get your church's name out into the public forum. Get it in the paper. Get it onto the radio. Get it into the webosphere. Get it on television. I mean, just recently, just this last week, our family we made the front page of two different newspapers because we were in the right place at the right time and we were talking to the right people. We know how to do this. We've been doing it for years. There's no reason you can't do this as well. Get out there and make a name. Get some airplay in your community, because when people have heard about the church and then someone says, hey, I'm going to such and such church, or we have this sermon series coming up, and oh, I've heard about that church, it makes inviting a lot easier.
But before you get your name out there, okay,
right,
you've got to deal with what's going on in the congregation, because if you
right.
bring new people
oh, right,
into
exactly.
that setting,
right.
that's not going to change.
Points
but,
1, 2, or 3, conflict and,
yeah.
and self-esteem and all that has to be
right,
dealt
but
with.
But here's what we want to do. We want to identify, we want to address. We think addresses take care of.
Right,
or we think, if I put these little tools in your hands, it's going to turn around. But these things could take months and years even to address. So be really careful about going out there until you have that and your conflict.
Right. Do your foundation piece first before you invite people, because otherwise they come, they go, yep, that's exactly what I thought your church was all about.
Yeah, and if you're going to say, well, everybody's going to die before that, well, you should have thought about that probably a decade
ooh,
ago. And
ouch.
Your church is, sorry.
Hey, you don't know
I'm not going to, well, actually, I'm not sorry, okay? That you should have addressed that before, and there get those points where we're trying to do, I'd say too much too late, but it's not enough. I mean, but we are people of hope, and there is resurrection, so don't necessarily call a concern.
Okay, go on, move on.
All right, okay. Another thing to do is contact your school district, your utility companies, your public works departments, your sheriff's department, your police department. You mean whatever works for you, your local state representatives, and get that realistic look at what's happening in your community. What is growing? Where are the people coming in? Over and over again, when we talk to people about evangelism or, who are you reaching, they'll say, well, we don't know anybody in our community.
Right.
What that's told you is the people have moved out, right? There's that beat footing it away. But what you don't see are the people who are moving in. So here's kind of this demographic. Instead of pulling more paper, thinking and assessing, talk to those who are there and have the realistic knowledge of not just what kind of people are moving in, but who is moving in.
All right, the last one we want to get at, and believe it or not, other than fixing the problems, this is probably the most effective way to get new visitors, and that is to get your pastor out of doing member care. Stop doing it, or at least minimize it.
And out of the office.
And out of the office. Stop doing church administration and get your pastor out networking with people who are outside the church, people who are in your target demographic, people who you think you can best attract, whether it's young adults or baby boomers or whatever. Get your pastor out meeting them. We say regularly, five a day, five new people a day that they've met and had conversations with that can lead to a possible invitation, a possible relationship. If they'll do that, there will be visitors. And yes, we want you, the congregation, to do as well. But we also know, Pastor, if you're not doing it, your congregation won't do it. Don't stand up there and tell them, go out, go out, go out, if you're not.
Some practical tools
That's
we have
right.
to model.
Right. So number one way, after you've dealt with the issues, because you better deal with those issues, is get your pastor out of the office, out of member care as much as possible, out of church administration, so that they can invite and network and bring people in the church. And once they're there, then you got to connect them. But that's a conversation for another day.
Another day. We're out of time again.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.